Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Aleph. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa addresses the meaning of the signs which precede and follow the parsha of Yibin So Aaron and when the ark would journey. The custom is to use inverted nuns for the signs. Rebbe says the reason this section is enclosed is Shesefer Chashav Hu Bifnei Atzmo. It's to be regarded as a significant sefer unto itself. In line with Rebbe's opinion, Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmani explained the pasuk Chatzva Amudeha Shiva. She has hewn out seven pillars, as referring to the seven books of the Torah. And Rashi explains that since Rebbe considers the parsha of Yibin So Aaron as a separate sefer, Chumash B'Midbar therefore comprises three separate chumashim. Point number two, in a braisa that stated that the books of Jewish heretics are not saved from a fire, Rabbi Shmuel said that this law could be derived from a Kal V'Chomer. If the Torah states that Hashem's name, which is written with Kedusha, can be erased into water for the sake of Shalom between a man and his wife, all the more so should the divine names written by people who arouse jealousy, enmity, and dissension between Israel and their father in Shemaim should be erased. And point number three, this Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding the prohibition of reading Ksuvim on Shabbos. Rav says it was only forbidden to read Ksuvim in the Beis Midrash where the Shir and Halacha was given. Shmuel held that it was forbidden to read Ksuvim anywhere during the time of the Shir, and Ravashi says that Shmuel held that it was forbidden to read Ksuvim the entire Shabbos. Ravashi explains that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nehemia, who prohibited learning reading from Ksuvim the entire day so that people would draw the conclusion that they can't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, all the more so they shouldn't read from Shtari Hetiotas, which Rashi explains as letters containing calculations or correspondence on Shabbos. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Our braisa addresses the meaning of the signs which precede and follow the parsha of Yibin So Aaron, and when the ark would journey, the custom is to use inverted nuns for the signs. Rebbe says the reason the section is closed is Shesefer Chashav Hu Bifnei Atzmo. It's to be regarded as a significant sefer unto itself. In line with Rebbe's opinion, Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmani explained the pasuk Chatzva Amudeha Shiva. She has hewn out seven pillars, as referring to the seven books of the Torah. And Rashi explains that since Rebbe considers the parsha of Yibin So Aaron as a separate sefer, Chumash B'Midbar therefore comprises three separate chumashim. Point number two, in a braisa that stated that the books of Jewish heretics are not saved from a fire, Rabbi Shmuel said that this law could be derived through a Kal V'Chomer. If the Torah states that Hashem's name, which is written with Kedusha, can be erased into water for the sake of Shalom between a man and his wife, all the more so should the divine names written by people who arouse jealousy, enmity, and dissension between Yisrael and their father in Shemaim should be erased. And point number three, this Machlokes has been Rav and Shmuel regarding the prohibition of reading Ksuvim on Shabbos. Rav says it was only forbidden to read Ksuvim in the Beis Midrash where the Shir and Halacha was given. Shmuel held it was forbidden to read Ksuvim anywhere during the time of the Shir, and Ravashi says that Shmuel held that it was forbidden to read Ksuvim the entire Shabbos. Ravashi explains that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nehemiah, who prohibited reading from Ksuvim the entire day, so that people would draw the conclusion that if they can't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, all the more so they shouldn't read from Shtari Hediotos, which Rashi explains as letters containing calculations or correspondence on Shabbos. All right, so now we go to our Simra Kupta Zion, and we had a lot of people suggest catastrophe or different types of catastrophes. We had cats, raining cats and dogs. We had Alcatraz, Catskills, coats of paint. We had the Giladi family suggest a ninja warrior with a samurai sword doing a lot of cutting. We had Cortisone Kajis. We had Avi Bellyzone from Boca. Avi, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. It suggests WKTZ radio station with Katie's Kites. But I'm going to go with the suggestion that came from Menashe Reuven Weiss from Shalim and Aaron Warso from Queens, who suggested haircuts or barber giving haircuts. So that's going to be our sim for Kupta Zayin, a barber giving haircuts. So thank you, Menashe Reuven and Aaron, for that suggestion. So here goes. When the barber who loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts saw the heretic's library down the street go up in smoke, he pledged to learn halacha on Shabbos and not learn ksuvim the entire day. Once again, slow motion. When the barber loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts, that means we're on Daf Kuf Tev Zayin. When the barber loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts, which reminds us of Bryce addressing the meaning of the signs which precede and follow the parsha of Yibin So Aaron, and when the ark would journey, the custom is to use the inverted nuns for the signs. Rebbe says the reason the section is enclosed is Shesefer Chashav Hu Bifnei Atzmo. It's to be regarded as a significant sefer unto itself. In line with Rebbe's opinion, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani explained the pasuk Chatzva Amudeha Shiva, she has hewn out seven pillars, as referring to the seven books of the Torah. Rashi explains that since Rebbe considers the Parsha of Yibin So Aaron as a separate sefer, Chumash B'Midbar therefore comprises three separate chumashim for a total of seven for the entire chumash. So when the barber who loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts saw the heretic's library down the street go up in smoke, which reminds us, in a braisa that stated the books of Jewish heretics are not safe from a fire, Rishmael said that this law could be derived through a Kal V'Chomer. If the Torah states that Hashem's name, which is written with Kedusha, can be erased into water for the sake of shalom between a man and his wife, all the more so should the divine names written by people who arouse jealousy, enmity, and dissension between Yisrael and their father in Shemaim should be erased. So when the barber who loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts saw the heretic's library down the street go up in smoke, he pledged to learn halacha on Shabbos and not learn ksuvim the entire day. Which reminds us that there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding the prohibition of reading ksuvim on Shabbos. Rav says it was only forbidden to read ksuvim in the Beis HaMidrash where the shir and halacha was given. Shmuel held it was forbidden to read ksuvim anywhere during the time of the shir. Rav Ashi says that Shmuel held that it was forbidden to read ksuvim the entire Shabbos. Rav Ashi explains that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nechemya, who prohibited learning and reading from ksuvim the entire day, so that people would draw the conclusion that if they cannot read ksuvim on Shabbos, all the more so they should not read from Shtari Hediotos, which Rashi explains as letters containing calculations or correspondence on Shabbos. So once again, when the barber who loved to talk about the seven books of the Torah while giving haircuts saw the heretic's library down the street go up in smoke, he pledged to learn halacha on Shabbos and not learn ksuvim the entire day. All right, now it's time for four blah bach hazara. Kuf Yud Beis. So the Sefer Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube master. So here goes. The Rubik's Cube master, that must mean we're daf Kuf Yud Beis. The Rubik's Cube master who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker untying laces, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three braces that seem to contradict each other on the topic of untying the knots of shoes. The first one states that one is chai v'chatzis, the second one states that one is patra aval aser, and the third states that it is mutter to do so. So the Gemara answers that the three braces are referring to three different cases. The first case we're referring to the straps of shoemakers, and Rashi explains that when making the shoe, the shoemaker inserts a strap into the shoe and makes a permanent knot in order to prevent it from coming out. Since the knot is permanent, he's chayv on a deraisa level and is chayv v'chatzis. The second case was referring to knots made by the Rabbanan. The rabbis did not tie their shoes tightly in order they could easily set them on and off without needing to tie and untie them. They were not permanent knots because during the muddy season, the rabbis would untie them and then tie them again tightly so they would not be pulled off in the mud. Therefore, for untying these types of knots, which are not permanent but are similar to permanent knots, one is patra aval aser. The third case was referring to the residents of Mechoza who were fastidious in their dress and tied their shoes tightly for a snug fit and untied them daily. So since the knots were not permanent, they were permitted to make. So the Rubik's Cube master learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, which reminds the Gemara notes a seeming contradiction in two cases involving a Maraim whose sandal straps broke, causing the sandals to come up. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was told by Rabbi Abo to take a moist reed that is fit for animal food and thereby not muksa, and put it into the sandal in place of the strap. Abai was told by Rabbi Yosef to not even touch the sandal, since it has the status of muksa. So the Gemara clarifies that the incident involving Rabbi Yirmiyahu took place in a karmus that wasn't guarded. Therefore, Rabbi Abo was lenient in regards to muksa and permitted him to move the shoe and put it on. In Abai's case, however, the sandal came off in a safe and guarded area, therefore Rabbi Yosef did not permit him to handle it. So the Rubik's Cube master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, made everybody he competed with feel like a donkey. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav Bar Zimon regarding Talmid Chachamim, Im Rishonim b'nei Malachim, Anu b'nei Anashim. If the early ones of previous generations were sons of angels, we are sons of men. Im Rishonim b'nei Anashim, Anu k'chamorim. And if the early ones were sons of men, we are like donkeys. Bo k'chamoro, Shrabi Chanina ben Dosa, v'shrabi Pinchas ben Yair, El Kishar Chamorim, and not like the donkey of Rabbi Chani ben Dosa, and that of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, but rather like other donkeys. Kuf Yud Gimel. So the symbol for Kuf Yud Gimel is geek. That's Kuf Yud Gimel backward, geek. So here goes. The obsessive geek, that must mean we're on daf, Kuf Yud Gimel. The obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos, which reminds us, the second mission on the daf states that one may fold garments even 4 or 5 times on Shabbos, and one may make the bed on Shabbos night for Shabbos day, but not on Shabbos day for Motzi Shabbos. Rashi explains that it was customary to fold the garment when it was taken off to prevent it from getting wrinkled. Since the garment had lost its stiffness due to laundering, it would become creased if it was not folded. Folding numerous times is permitted provided one still needs the garments for Shabbos. Making the bed for Motzi Shabbos is prohibited since one can't prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So the obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos and insisted on walking backwards the whole day, which reminds us the Gemara brings a pasuk from Yeshaya on the subject of how to act on Shabbos. V'chibadito, and you shall honor it, which means your Shabbos garments should not be like your weekday garments. Me'asos rechecho, by not doing your ways, your walking in Shabbos should not be like your weekday walking. M'so chefsecho, from seeking your wants, which means activities that further one's financial affairs are forbidden. The Gemara adds the chefsi shemaim, the wants of shemaim, i.e. mitzvahs, are permitted. Rashi brings examples such as pledging to give tzedakah and arranging shidduchim. The daber daber and speaking words. Your speech on Shabbos should not be like your weekday speech. Rashi understands this to mean that one should not speak about financial matters. Tosfos explains that one should not speak as much in general on Shabbos, even about topics that are permitted. The Gemara clarifies each of these restrictions. So the obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos and insisted on walking backwards the whole day loved to show people pictures of his recent archaeological trip to Babel. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a number of Amoraic statements made about Babel. Rav Ami said that anyone who eats the dust of Babel, it's as if he's eating the flesh of his ancestors. Rashi explains that's referring to those that died there in Galus. Reish Lakish said the reason the Babel is called Shinar is Shekol Meisim Mabel Ninarusham, because all the dead from the flood were dumped there. And Rav Yochanan explained that the reason why Babel is called Metzula, the deep, is Shekol Meisim Mabel Nitzdalusham, because all the dead from the flood sank there. Daf Kuf Yadal. So the Simran Kuf Yadal is a kiddie amusement park. Here goes. At the kiddie park, that means we're on Daf Kuf Yadal. At the kiddie park, where children got to wear special ash removal clothing, which reminds Rav Achab Rabba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Torah's source for the appropriateness of changing one's clothing to suit the task at hand comes from a pasuk in regards to removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. It states, Upashas Bagadav, the Lavash Bagadim Acherim, he shall remove his garments and don other garments, meaning he need to put on different garments to bring out the ashes, a less important task. Rashi explains that Hashem considers it honorable to wear nicer clothing for an exalted purpose, and therefore it's appropriate to change out of them before performing menial tasks. And it was taught in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel that this teaches us derech eretz, that garments that one has worn when he cooked a pot of food for his master should not be the garments he wears when pouring a cup of wine for his master. Cooking the food is a metaphor for cleaning the ashes, and pouring the cup represents the libations on the Mizbeach. So at the kiddie park, where children got to wear special ash removal clothing and dress up as rabbis answering questions, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan stated that the criterion for a Talmud Chacham to be appointed a leader over the community is that he should be able to answer a question from any place in Shas, even from Masech Tekala. Masech Tekala is a series of brises that is one of the minor Masechtas that are not typically learned in one less's master Shas. It can be found after Avos. The opening halacha teaches that a Kala that has not had the brachas of Nesu'in recited yet is forbidden to her husband, like Anita. So at the kiddie park, where children got to wear special ash removal clothing and dress up as rabbis answering questions, lunch was served late in the day after the outer spoiled leaves of vegetables got trimmed. Which reminds us, in a discussion regarding why the customary shofar blasts blown on Erev Shabbos were not blown on Yom Kippur that fell out on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara points out that Yom Kippur had rabbinic lenience. They permitted people late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur to trim the outer spoiled leaves from stalks of vegetables, it's called Knivas Yerek, in preparation to chop or cut them after Yom Kippur. This was permitted even though rabbinically one is typically forbidden to make preparations for a weekday. Rashi explains that the rabbis were lenient because the food preparation late in the day, when a person is hungriest, increases the distress of fasting, which is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, the nisim eshnaf shosechem, and you shall afflict your souls. Kuf Tes Vav, so the symbol for Kuf Tes Vav is a katoris maker, so here goes. The katoris maker, that must mean Rondaf Kuf Tes Vav. So the katoris maker got so engrossed learning suvim, he accidentally started a fire, and frantically tried to save all his kisvei HaKodesh, which reminds us, the opening mishnah of the 16th parak states that all kisvei HaKodesh, meaning any sefer from Tanakh, may be saved from a fire on Shabbos, where they are publicly read on Shabbos, such as Nevi'im, or whether they are not read from on Shabbos, such as Ksuvim. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Halevi, who says that Ksuvim may not be read on Shabbos, even by individuals, because of Bittul Beis Midrash. It was the custom during those times to give halachic discourses to the public on Shabbos, since most people are unable to attend them during the week. If individuals are permitted to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos, it's very likely they would not attend the Shiurim in the Beis Midrash, because they would become so engrossed in Ksuvim as they are considered the most engaging parts of Tanakh. So the katoris maker got so engrossed in learning Ksuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his kisvei kodesh, including translations, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, that one is not permitted to read from foreign translations of Tanakh. The Gemara brings a machlokas maraim in regards to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel regarding whether foreign translations can be saved from a fire. Rav Huna says they may not be saved since they can't be read from. Rav Chisda says they may be saved because of Bizyon Kisvei Kodesh, meaning it would be a disgrace to Kisvei Kodesh for them to be burned in the fire. So the katoris maker got so engrossed in learning Suvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his Kisvei Kodesh, including translations, provided they had at least 85 letters. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Chaluva asked Rav Nachman, if it's permitted to save a Sefer Torah where most of the writing has been erased and there are not a total of 85 letters intact, similar to the number of letters in the Parsha of Yibin Zoharon and when the Ark would journey. Rashi explains that Rebbe holds that the two psukim in this parsha are considered a separate sefer of the Torah. Since it contains 85 letters, this number was chosen as the minimum number of intact letters necessary for a sefer Torah to retain its kedusha. Rav Nachman answered that it's not permitted to save a sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number one, which daf when the Rebbe holds that the Yibin So Aron is a separate sefer of the Chumash? That's on daf Kuf Tazayin. Good. Number two, which daf when about the Yom Kippur leniency of Knivas and Yark, that you can trim the outer leaves of stalks late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur? That's on daf Kuf Yadal. Good. Number three, which daf when that one can save Kisvei Kodesh from a fire, both Nevim and Ksuvim? That's on daf Kuftes Vav. Good. Number four, which daf to win that one can fold clothes multiple times on Shabbos if one's going to wear them? That's on daf Kufyud Gimel. Good. Number five, which daf to win about the appropriateness of changing one's clothing depending on the test, which is learned from the Truma Sedeshin? That's on daf Kufyudalad. Good. Number six, which daf to win about the two cases of broken sandal straps? That's on daf Kufiyat Beis. Good. Number seven, which daf to learn that you can't sip vinegar, but you can dip food in vinegar for sore teeth? That's on daf Kufiyat Av. Good. Number eight, which daf we have a machlokes when it's prohibited to read ksuvim on Shabbos? That's on daf Kufta Zayin. Good. Number nine, which daf we have a machlokes if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would permit saving translations of Kisvei Kodesh from a fire? That's on daf Kuftes Vav. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have different memorim about Bavel? That's on daf Kufyud Gimel. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number one, which daf do we have machlokes whether Kriya Shema is a Doraisa or a Derabanan? That's on daf Chafav. Good. Number two, which daf do we have the one should not walk in front of someone davening? That's on daf Chavzayin. Good. Number three, which daf do you learn that one should daven Shmoneh Esrei like an Eved who approaches his master? That's on daf Lamed Daled. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.